Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, and welcome to the Love Life Connection podcast, a podcast for smart, successful women who feel like they have it all except love. I'm your host, Veronica Grant, a love and life coach, and today I'll be joined by a guest to give you an inside look at the work I do with my clients. This is your opportunity to learn through someone else's experience. They may even ask a question you have or one you haven't even thought of yet. So keep an open mind, open heart, and let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to episode number 359 of the Love Life Connection podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I'm super excited to be back in your earbuds again this week. And I just want to share a little update with the podcast. It's not really a huge update, but just wanted to give you a little teaser about what's going to happen. So I am going on maternity leave starting in, you know, mid-June. I'm hoping for a summer solstice baby, but we'll see. And while I am gone, I am going to replay one of my most popular series on the show. So back in 2021, I created a four-part series called Dating in the Wild. And the whole point of that show or that series was really to be like, yay, COVID is somewhat over because we have this vaccine and it's super effective. And so that was supposed to be like, what is it, the hot vax summer? And then Delta hit, wah, wah. And all of this, you know, all this ideas that I had for dating in the wild, meaning like dating off the apps, just went, you know, it fell a little flat because people were beginning to stay home again, or things were closing down, or people weren't really comfortable because Delta was more serious and it was breaking through the vaccine, all that kind of stuff. So we are in a brand new, not brand new, but we're in a new place with the pandemic and just with everything going on. And I hear all the time from clients and women just in my DMs and emails and et cetera, that they really want to meet someone quote unquote organically. Now, I do not have anything against the apps. I think the apps can be a great place to meet someone, especially if you're shy, especially if you're introverted, especially if you're short on time, whether it's because of work or you're a single parent or whatever it is. So I'm not sitting here trying to demonize the apps. I think sometimes the apps can feel a little, well, a little is an understatement, a lot triggering because it happens so fast, right? Like if you go out and meet someone, you might meet one or two people. Maybe one of those people, maybe none of those people statistically end up being like a jerk or an asshole or a narcissist or whatever. But because when you're swiping through so many people, you're talking with a lot more people in a lot smaller condensed period of time. So statistically, you're much more likely to meet, you know, assholes, noncommittals, jerks, like whatever you want to call them. And that's why it seems like the dating apps are so much worse than anything else. But the truth is that jerks are everywhere, online and off, as are really nice potential partners. They're online and off as well. However, it is summertime, and I do hear that a lot of you all want to meet people off the apps. So I am going to be replaying that Dating in the Wild series while I am on maternity leave. So it'll start in July and it'll run through August. So if you're looking for tips on how to meet people, both practical tips on where, and then also more of like the inner, you know, mindset, kind of how you're going to approach it kind of thing. I cover all of that in the series. So just keep an eye out for that. It's the series is called Dating in the Wild. It's a 4-part series. It'll start in July, and I'm super excited to get that to you. So make sure you're subscribed to this show so that when I do release that series, you don't miss it. Okay, so I am going to get into today's episode, which I'm really excited about. It's with Irina, who is a client of mine. And her question is how to keep your vibes up when others are trying to pull them down. Now, there's a lot that we cover in this show or in this specific episode. If you struggle with boundaries, then you're really going to relate to Irina's question and her struggle. And then also, I just want to say one thing about high vibe, low vibe. So for my clients who are kind of people pleasers or like to quote unquote take the high road or whatever, you know, do those kinds of things, a lot of that is because of this whole idea of high vibe, low vibe. Now, even if you don't necessarily have those specific phrases in your mind, I think a lot of that kind of gets entrenched by following a lot of modern self-help, law of attraction, manifesting stuff kind of in general. Because law of attraction, manifesting is all about like keeping your vibrations high and like energy good and all of that kind of stuff. And so sometimes that can get misinterpreted as like, you know, if someone asks you something, then, you know, just to do it because that's the kind or that's the nice thing to do or that's the high vibe thing to do or you would want that in return or whatever it is. But ultimately what that can do over time is that it can leave you feeling really drained, especially if you're saying yes way too much. And it can also leave you feeling really resentful because you might not be getting the favor back. Because if you're training people that you're always the yes person, then they're just taking advantage of that rather than like, oh, let me see if I can reciprocate, right? I mean, sure, like, of course, that may happen from time to time. But I've coached a lot of folks, people pleasing tendencies, and that generally is not the norm. And so then like this internal battle can happen because then you really want to say no, or you feel resentful, or you feel drained. And then you find yourself creeping into quote unquote low vibes. And again, whether consciously or not, some of this idea of like staying high vibe, staying good energy or whatever can start, some of that pressure can really start to create some inner turmoil and stress around like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be like this, or how am I going to manifest anything, or like, what kind of person am I being? I'm being a bad person because I'm in like this low energy or low vibe or whatever. And it can just really spiral from there in any number of ways. So that's really what we're getting into with Irina. I think it's a really, really important episode, especially if you think you should be high vibe all the time, or if you're a people pleaser or have no boundaries, or what is like, stay in like quote unquote good energy, a really, really important listen. Okay. So without further ado, let's get straight to it. Hi, Irina. Welcome to the show. How can I help today?
Hi, Veronica. And thank you for having me. So my question is, how can I manage the situation when my vibe, I have the moment or day when my vibe, it's really high and I feel really awesome. And for example, for today, just I feel the heaviness or just I feel the anxiety, but because just maybe sometimes the people, they, if I talk with somebody, they laugh or something I said, or I'm really, how can I say, I don't know, it's the trigger or it's, I, how can I say, after this, I don't have trust on myself again. So it's like,
Okay, let me repeat back just to make sure I'm understanding what you're asking. So some days you're feeling really great, and then other days you're feeling, you're using the word vibe, so you're feeling what I guess you would call low vibe, so like this heaviness, this anxiety, and then people can trigger you a lot easier. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then what's the question?
So the question is, how can I manage this situation I need to embrace this heaviness and to be, how can I say, love with myself? And I say, yeah, it's okay. I feel that heaviness or sadness. It's okay if I have the days like this, but I don't know exactly how I should work with this.
Okay. So there's a couple pieces here that are going on. Are you putting pressure on yourself to feel happy or to love yourself or to be high vibe or anything like that?
In the last, I think, weeks, no. To be honest, before, yes. All the time I say I need to. But this week I felt already inside of me, I am worthy and I am happy. But suddenly it doesn't take too much. 2 days and after the third day, I am again the same cycle.
Okay. Got it. All right. So I just want to explain something kind of big picture, and then we can zero into your situation in a moment. Okay. But big picture is that, you know, a lot of times we talk about emotions, you know, like there's lots of emotions, there's anger, there's joy, there's peace, there's calm, all that kind of stuff. Right. And then there's the emotions of love and happiness. And I actually don't think that those things are emotions. I think that those things are more states of being. Right. So, you know, I know you. So think about your daughter. There, you love your daughter, but she can really annoy you sometimes. She can really piss you off. She can really upset you. Right. But that doesn't mean you don't love her. Right. And so yes. I think we can have the same kind of viewpoint when we're talking about either our self-love or even our general state of happiness. Right. Like I would consider myself a generally happy person, but that's not to say I don't have moments of anxiety or loneliness or like, you know, questioning myself or like any other kind of more difficult emotions, but those emotions are more fleeting, right? So I think it's important to look at what your overall state of being is. And if your general state of being is not in self-love or not with happiness, then of course, I think there's some other things to look at. But I think though, what happens is, you know, we do a lot of this inner work and we can, you know, I know we're working together and then we're probably also consuming other content, whether it's podcasts or books or blogs or whatever. And then we just put a lot of pressure like, oh, I'm doing all this work. So I always need to be feeling better and better and better every day. But that's just not how it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You're right. No, yeah, you're right. I read a lot. I listened. Yes. And it's like, I want to be like a miracle right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, miracles happen. Like things can happen in a moment, right? Like, for sure. So I think it's fine to stay open to possibility or open to things just like, you know, totally changing or getting downloads or whatever in the least expected times for sure. But it's just, I just don't think it's like a reasonable expectation that, you know, your self-love will always stay constant, or that your happiness will stay constant. Because as humans, we actually do learn through contrast, right? We know what happiness is because we know what sadness is. We know what anxiety is because we know what calm is, right? So it's not to like belittle the difficult emotions or not make a big deal of them, but it's just, there has to be a level of acceptance because the less you accept those difficult emotions, then you actually give them more power, right? It's like sticking your fingers in your ears being like, la, 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 I can't hear you. And then it's just there like, make it go away. And it just becomes like this big, scary monster in the closet. When in fact, if we just embraced, not even embrace, that's not even the right word, but just dealt with the emotions head on, like, okay, why am I feeling like this? Like, think of them as messengers, you know, the difficult emotions, like, okay, what is tripping me up? What's not working for me right now? And you can look at the major categories of your life, right? Is it finances? Is it career? Is it relationship? Is it my daughter? Is it my health? Whatever. And then you can begin to see like, oh, you know, I think it's this thing that's bothering me. And then you can do something about it, but you have to be able to face it in order to do something. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I don't need to do nothing. Just I embrace and I put the question to start to put the question why I feel like this.
Yeah. It's about getting curious. And I love the question why, but it's not like the question of like, why do I feel like this? Like, it's not that kind of energy. But it's like, okay, I've been feeling like this for a little bit. It's not the most comfortable thing in the world. What's going on here? What needs to shift? What do I need to do? It might just be as simple as like, I just need to like not be on my phone for the next 24 hours and I need to just get like a good night's sleep, right? Sometimes like that can really get you a long way. or drinking more water or, I don't know, eating less sugar or something. Like those things certainly have an effect. But a lot of times it's revolving around boundaries, our own boundaries with ourselves. We revolve around boundaries with like people at work, with people that you're dating, friendships, you know, your children, whoever. But it's just identifying like, what is the thing? And like, look, there might be a lot of things in your life that you'd like to improve upon or work on. But usually when we're feeling a difficult emotion any given day, there's usually like one thing that's causing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And usually I'm really sensitive. For example, why I felt today like this, because I spoke with someone and I say, I'm free for the hours because really I'm really busy. I don't know, the people, they have so many time. And I say, and send me emoji with laughing, told me you are funny. And I say, oh my goodness, I am wrong. What is
so you were saying, you were telling someone that you are busy. I assume you're like trying to like work something to like do a project together. Is that what the case was?
Yeah, and I say, I'm free. Yes, I'm free after 7:30. And they laugh like I am funny. You are funny.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what you do about that. People's bad behavior can certainly cause hurt feelings. You know, it can cause, you know, if it sounds like your feelings are hurt a little bit, like you don't take my time seriously. That's essentially what this person or how this person was responding. Right. And so so it's very easy then to interpret that as, oh, they don't take me seriously. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's hurtful and it's infuriating maybe even and frustrating, especially depending on who this message is coming from. But here's the thing. There's a difference between like, that doesn't feel good. That rubs me the wrong way. There's that. And then there's taking it personally. Like, what did I do?
I take personally. Yeah. And after I feel wrong, I am wrong.
Yes. And so this, when you take something personally, it's almost always related to something bumping up against your core wound. Right. And like, you know, I know you, so I'm familiar with your core wounds. And this like is like, this is like your dad. It's like your dad sending you this text message, even though I know it's not literally your dad sending you your text message or this text message, but like, it's pretty parallel to that. Can you see that?
Yes. Yeah.
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 And so then when you're taking something personal, so when something hurts and you're like, wow, this kind of hurt my feelings. You know, there's a couple things you can do depending on who it is and the situation. You can just let it go and just be like, that really sucks. Kind of pissed me off. I'm just going to let it go. Right. That's a perfectly fine way to go about it again. And it's going to depend on the situation, who it is, all that kind of stuff. You might need to have a conversation and say, hey, when you said this, it really hurt my feelings because here's why. Right. And so you might need to have a conversation. And that's when someone's hurting, or that's when someone is being rude and it hurts your feelings. Now, when you're taking it personally, you know, it still might be because of rude behavior, in which case you can decide to have a conversation or to let it go. But also there's another step involved, which is it's a chance to be like, okay, I can see how this is bumping up against a core wound, identify the core wound, and then do inner child work around it so that you're less emotionally volatile. Well, that's the right word. It's so that your emotions are less volatile according to other people's actions.
Yeah. To be honest, I all the time, the decision is let go and I give up. And they laugh again. You are funny. So I decide, no, I can work with these people. So I'm not. For me, the time is the pressure and I'm working. And the morning until if they don't take right now, so they don't can take seriously for any, how can I say, the responsibility.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this. Obviously, you can't make people, you know, you can't control people. I always say you can't control people's ABCs, actions, beliefs, choices. And I would also say, I would add D and E. You can't control their ABCDEs, actions, beliefs, choices, decisions, emotions. Right. And so they're going to act how they're going to act. Right. I will say you can certainly have some influence over it, but you can't control it outright. And you know, again, because I know you, I know that, you know, you've struggled with asserting yourself and stating your boundaries and all that kind of stuff. In general, people who exploit boundaries do not have respect for people who have no boundaries. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, we teach people how to treat us. And this becomes more pronounced and perhaps more toxic when we're talking about people who have little to no reverence for people's boundaries. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so rather than trying to like change this person's behavior or make them apologize or feel bad, which probably sounds like is not going to be the case, you can begin saying like, I'm not able to do that.
You know, yeah, but like, I am conscious. So I say I'm not able to work with the people, but inside of me, I say I give up to talk with people. I want to be just myself and to work just myself. I can't work with that, but it's toxic. It's not good for me. I need to socialize and maybe to work. You can't work all the time just yourself. So,
yeah, I mean, look, like we've talked a lot about your work before, and like, you know, with work, there's two options when it's not working, when it's toxic, there's two options. It's change your relationship to it or change the job.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can change your relationship to it, meaning like this place is toxic as hell and I'm just going to get in, do what I'm supposed to do, and then get out, right? And I've been in a situation like that, and it sucks. It's really not a long-term solution. It's really just a stopgap solution because most people can't just quit their jobs outright, right? Because they need to know what's coming next, financially at least. And then the other part is to change the job, right? And I know that's like a big, it's not just like, okay, cool, I'll just change my job, right? Like, yeah. I understand that it's more involved than that, but that's where the stopgap solution comes in, which is change your relationship to it. Like if your workplace is truly toxic, and it sounds like it is, like, I don't think it's just things you're making up or that are all in your head or anything like that. There's only so much you can do, you know, like it is really the people at the top in the management, maybe middle management, depending on the structure and the size of the company, that really have a major influence in the workplace culture. And people in middle management and below really don't have a lot of sway over the overall culture. I will say it is helpful to have like that one person that you can like, you know, go and chit chat with and close the office door and like just vent everything. That certainly was my saving grace for my really horrible working environment. But again, it was still just like a temporary solution until I could get out of there. Have you ever seen Abbott Elementary? It's a show on Hulu in the US. It's about these teachers at this underfunded, largely Black school in Philadelphia. And there's this like one teacher, she's like the main character, and she's like, you know, young and chipper right out of school, like, oh, I'm going to change the world. And, you know, she's like super optimistic, right? Like, and she's like annoyingly so. The other characters don't like her. And then there's the older teachers that have been in the system for a much longer time. And they're just like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to work with what you have. You have to work with what you have. And I kind of feel like there's that tension, you know, there might be a little bit of that tension there where you just have to work with what you have, you know, with the resources or the people that are there until you can find another longer term solution that's going to work for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. But also, for example, the outside the work, the same, for example, somebody, another friend, how can I say, make the connection with me and they want to call me. And the same, I say, Sunday, you call me after 6. And after they call me after 6, but they put the question, what you do in the Sunday? Why I call you 6? Why you don't answer one? Yeah. Oh my goodness, okay. I need to give so many explanation.
You don't have to explain anything. First of all, you don't have to explain anything. If someone's like, why are you busy until 6? What are you doing? You can just say like, I was doing stuff. Like, I mean, you don't say it like that, but you don't have to like, you know, you don't have to give any explanation. But again, like, this is where you have to say to yourself, like, I'm not like trying to like make it your fault, but it is important to recognize like, oh, I'm the common denominator in all of this. Is it more true that everyone sucks? Or is it more true that maybe I've, you know, had a difficulty with boundaries, and so that's just put people into my life who are going to take advantage of that, you know? Okay. And generally it's the latter. That's true. Are there people that suck out there? Of course. Lots of people suck. All kinds of people suck. I could probably name 20 right now. I don't need to go there. My point is that we teach people how to treat us. Like someone who has poor boundaries, they're naturally going to gravitate towards people who like to exploit boundaries. When you think about it, it really is a nice pair. It's not necessarily what you want, but it does work out, right? If you're willing to just be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do this, or you can do that, or whatever, someone who wants to take advantage of that. And most of it's unconscious, right? Like, I'm not saying like they're consciously trying to like exploit you. I mean, maybe some people are, but for the most part, it's just like the other side of the same coin, which is like no boundaries, right? Like those kinds of people are just going to be more gravitated because like in many ways that relationship's going to work. And usually at some point, the person that has the poor boundaries, that's the exploitee, I guess we could say, is going to snap. And that's you right now. You're about to snap. You're like, fuck all of this. Fuck everybody. You're so frustrated. I hear
it. Yeah, you know? Exactly. And I say, okay, I don't need to call me anyone. I don't want to, because it's like, it's tired for me. It's like, but also I feel this trigger because right now I start to put this boundary. And to respect, I put, okay, I can talk right now, maybe after. But in the same way, I think I have the fear if I will be alone all my life and the people, they were running off me. Because,
right. But this is the trick, right? This is the tricky part. Like you're doing this work and you're like, I can't live like this anymore, not having boundaries, just being the yes person for everybody, right? I need to have boundaries. So you're asserting yourself, right? You're saying you can call me, but you have to call me after 6 on Sunday, right? Yeah. And they're kind of like, what the hell's going on, right? Because this is something that's new. This is something that's different. And so it's a really great way to figure out like who's willing to quote unquote play ball. It's not really the right phrase, but like people who are like, oh, okay, Irina has boundaries now. Again, they're not consciously thinking this, but like, okay, yeah. She wants me to call me after 6. Cool. No problem. Right. They call after 6. Those are people that you might want to, you know, consider having stick around. Like you don't necessarily need to like reduce or remove completely those people from your life. But there's going to be some people where you just assert a boundary and they're going to laugh like the person who sent you that laughing emoji. Now, I understand you don't necessarily probably have the power to like fire this person and you might have to like work with them. You may not have much of a choice in that as long as you're in the current job, but you can certainly reduce the contact as much as possible. And then also when they're just being a dipshit or whatever, you just can see it for what it is, which is that they're just not used to boundaries and they're just like, you know, reacting out of that discomfort as opposed to it being anything personally about you. And so, you know, like I know the time that we're recording this, Marie Kondo's in the news because her house isn't so clean anymore now that she has 3 kids. But I do still like the idea, you know, she has this whole thing of like, does this object bring you joy? And if it doesn't, you know, throw it away. Now I've just started this like a million times with my house and I've never finished it because I'm like, what?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I don't know. Maybe it does bring joy. So I get through like the first like 2 things on the list and then I can't do anymore. But I think we can do a similar kind of thing with the people in our life. Like, what if your life looked like having largely people who brought you joy, who sparked joy? Now, I don't think it's realistic to have it
be 100% for most people, because you don't necessarily get to control who your coworkers are, you know? You know, obviously, if you work for yourself, that's a different story, but most people don't. Most people work for other people, and so they don't have control over coworkers. So I'm not, like, you know, suggesting that you should only have people in your life that spark joy and fuck everyone else, because, again, like, don't have that kind of power. But what if you just set a goal to have as many people in your life, or even, like, starting with, like, 50% of the people in your life, 60%, I don't know, with people that bring joy or that respect you, and don't, it doesn't feel like this heavy lift to have them in your life. I think that will give you more energy to deal with people that you don't have control over, which is, like, you know, your coworker who's an asshole or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think I take just personally, and I don't take, okay, this person is like this. It's not my problem. But all the time I say, I am the problem. Why? What's wrong with me? But I need to change.
This is where you have to train yourself.
Yeah.
It's just simple repetition. When you notice yourself blaming yourself, saying, like, I'm the problem, then you have to just catch yourself in the moment. You're not going to catch yourself all the time, and that's fine. You have to catch yourself and then retrain. Like, this is just them reacting poorly to a boundary. Most people who you're in relationship with now, whether we're talking coworkers, friendships, whoever, who you have poor boundaries with, and you start asserting boundaries, most of them are going to act poorly. And I just want you to assume that, so that you can just, like, expect the worst. And then if anyone surprises you, then that's great. But it's not about being a pessimist either. It's just about being realistic. You know, again, like, I've talked to you, I've said this a million times, that the people who are going to be more attracted to being in some sort of relationship with you are people who like to exploit, you know, other people who have no boundaries, right? And so those kind of people are not going to like it when you start asserting your boundaries.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you start asserting your boundaries, it's just really, like, telling you all you need to know, like, okay, I'm not going to have you in my life anymore, or I'm going to drastically reduce the amount of time or interaction that I spend with you.
I think in my, I think in my head, because that people, they have a title and they have PhD, and it's, they have more, like, study like me. I put already pedestal, and I look at them like a god. And after this, they surprise me with the poor attitude. And I say, oh my goodness, these people, they are like you talking with this in the street with someone. Maybe they don't have secondary school, but they, how can I say, they more polite, and they behave more, how can I say, like adult.
Yeah. So, I mean, this gets into a whole other topic that we're not going to have time to get into today. But essentially what you're telling me is that you put people on pedestals
because
their credentials, but like people with PhDs or people who are CEOs or, like, whatever the credentials are that you admire can still definitely be assholes, right? Assholes are everywhere.
Yeah.
So are great people too, not just assholes. But so that's a whole other topic that we won't have time to go into today. But what I do want you to focus on doing is kind of like just doing this people inventory, you know, just like how you can go through your closet and, like, I don't wear this anymore. I'm going to donate it. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to sell it, whatever. I want you to do, like, a similar kind of thing with the people in your life. Now, again, like,
okay.
I believe in, like, humanity. I believe that we're all, you know, divine creatures and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I want to be cautious to not teach you to dehumanize people. I want you to look at, it's just simply their behavior, right? It's not them as people. Like, people who have controlling or narcissistic tendencies or want to exploit other people's weaknesses or boundaries or insecurities or whatever, that's just them operating from their core wounds, because they have core wounds just like you have core wounds, just like I have core wounds, just like everyone listening to this has core wounds, right? So it's just their behavior that's creating a difficulty in your life, right? So don't dehumanize, just look at the behavior. Like, that behavior is not going to work for me. And then so you're just either reducing it as much as you can, or you're letting it go, or letting that person go. So you're going to do a little inventory. And then what I want you to do is, you know, when you are experiencing, you know, bad behavior, especially when it's something you don't have complete control over, like a coworker or something like that, then that's where I really want you to focus on really either deciding if it's something you're going to let go, not take it personally, see it for what it is, which is that person's insecurities coming out. If you need to have a conversation, if it's worth your time to have a conversation, because it might not be. And then if it is triggering something in you, mainly if you're taking it personally, it usually is triggering something in you, like a core wound, then it's just, you know, jot it down if you can't work on it in the moment. But then as soon as you can, you know, do some inner child work around whatever the core wound is that's coming up. This will take time. This is like the least sexy thing ever, right? Like, it's way more sexy to be like, these five things will get these people to snap out of it. And it's like, no, that's not going to work. This takes time because it's definitely rewiring some things in your brain for sure. And, you know, it'll take time to kind of go through the people in your life and like, who do you want in there? Who do you not? And you might feel like there might be a kind of a messy middle where you don't have a lot of people in your life because you're letting people go or you're reducing how much they are in your life. And in my opinion, that is better because then you have more energy and more time and more space to then make new friends that are actually going to lift you up rather than drag you down. I think trying to do all of this work, you know, that we're talking about in this episode, but then also like in our other coaching calls and everything, it just, you know, all these other people in your life just drag you down and it just makes the work that much slower to work, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just had a little moment, or maybe not a little moment, like if you had some time, whether it was like weeks or months or even a couple of years, where like you're like, I don't have as many people in my life as I did anymore, but it's because you let go of the people with the not so great behaviors, then you're going to have so much more energy to seek out the people who are going to make you feel great.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And congratulations again. Oh,
thank you. My pleasure. Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Irina, for coming onto the show. I really appreciate your courage and your vulnerability. Okay, let's get to breaking this down a little bit. So Irina essentially is asking, how can I get myself to feeling good again after someone else has essentially knocked me down? Okay, so first thing that I want to talk briefly about is I really want you to separate states of being from day-to-day or even really moment-to-moment emotions. Right? States of being are what I consider love and happiness. I know that those are technically, you know, if we're looking at it from like a scientific perspective, like we consider those emotions. But I think that when we're looking at it from this more, I don't want to say spiritual perspective, but just really like in how we just manage things and our head and our brains, I think it helps to see those more as states of being, right? Like you can deeply love yourself, you can deeply love somebody else and also still be kind of pissed off at them. You know what I mean? You can actually love yourself and still be frustrated with something, an action that you did do or didn't do, right? You can be a generally happy person and still have moments of distress or sadness or stress, you know, whatever it is, just depending on like what the actual reality is in your life, right? So when you're looking at like overall, like how am I doing? I want you to look at states of being. How is your overall happiness? How is your overall love, both love for yourself, love for others, all of those things? That's a little bit more important in my mind. I think what ends up happening is the day-to-day or the moment-to-moment emotions, we put a little bit too much stock in them, meaning like if you do feel sad or angry for whatever reason, maybe because you came across an ex on Instagram and you're like, you know, that jerk is going off to like wherever with his new beau or whatever, that might make you feel jealous in that moment. And maybe for several moments after you see that picture, it might make you feel angry or whatever it is. But that doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that you're a low vibe or that it means anything, you know, or taking away anything from the inner work that you've done. And I mentioned this a little bit at the top of the episode, but really this is like law of attraction, manifesting, like I would say toxic manifesting stuff kind of baked in or getting baked in to your brain. And I think this is what a lot of modern personal development and self-help is, you know, really based around. And I think that this is, well, I think it's super toxic, but it's not realistic to the human experience. You learn through contrast. You know what happiness is because you know what sadness is. You know what feeling calm and peaceful are like because you know what high stress or anxiety feel like. So it's not realistic that you're always quote unquote high vibe or that you're always feeling good or happy or whatever. And I don't care how much inner work that you've done, it's just not really possible. But I think that the law of attraction, even though this may not be the intent of the law of attraction or those who teach the law of attraction, it may not be their intent, I do think this often becomes the interpretation, like, oh, in order to manifest all of these things that we want, I've got to stay high vibe, et cetera, et cetera. I do just want to say one thing, that I don't believe in high vibe, low vibe. Like, if I get pitched for this podcast all the time, I don't even have guests on that often anymore, but I get pitched a lot and it drives me crazy because I will get a lot of pitches from people who are like manifestation, law of attraction, whatever coaches. And I'm like, have you listened to any of my episodes? Cause I don't know if we're aligned. But like if there's anything in their pitch around like staying high vibe or whatever, I'm just like, delete. Like, oh my God, pull my hair out. But you know, any kind of like, oh God, whenever I see it, I'm just like, I try not to judge the person because like they're on their own path, doing their own thing. And it's not my place to judge, but I just know that they're not for me in any way, like in terms of like any kind of collaboration or business partnership or whatever. So I hate like all of those little signs that say like high vibes only or whatever. It's just like, oh my God, can I barf on that, please? You know, high vibes has nothing to do with how you're feeling, like anger, sadness, anxiety, stress, loneliness. I understand those aren't feelings that you want to feel. I understand they're not feelings you necessarily want to go out of your way to feel, but they're not low vibe. And in fact, I would say in many ways, they're high vibe if you follow them. Meaning like if you let the emotion lead, you can actually get to some really beautiful transformational places by really going to some of these like deeper and what feels darker places. So I would argue that those feelings aren't really low vibe, they're actually high vibe, but let's just not even use that terminology at all, because whatever. Anyways, I'm going to go off my soapbox. I could go on the soapbox forever. I know if you've listened to me for a while, you're like, okay, Veronica, we get it. But listen, back to Irina. I just want to say this. Moving on, if people in your life drain you or you feel resentful when they ask you something, you have some sort of boundary leak with them. Now, they might be exploiting and they might be kind of acting out of malice, meaning like they're manipulating you to in order to get more. And sometimes like they're completely in the dark and they're not meaning any malice or any harm, but you just keep saying yes. And so they keep asking. And so I'm not saying you shouldn't feel resentful towards them or whatever. Whatever you feel is what you feel. But just know one way or another, either because it's your own doing and your own personal boundaries you need to set with yourself, or there's some issue with the person who might be taking advantage or purposely, you know, taking advantage of you, there is some sort of boundary leak that you need to, you know, you need to clear up. It might just be like with a couple of people in your life, it might be just a parent or a sibling, or if you have a partner or that friend that you've known forever, but kind of is like a thorn on your side. You know, it might just be like that one kind of person, and that would be a little bit easier to fix. Or it could be more like Irina, where it just feels like everybody is constantly draining her and pissing her off. So here's the thing about setting the boundaries. In an ideal world, you say, you know what, I really can't help you with that. I'm really sorry. And you set the boundary and they're like, okay, cool, no problem. And they either figure it out themselves or they ask someone else or whatever. It's their life. They deal with it, right? That's the ideal situation. And that certainly can happen. But most likely, if it's someone that you've quote unquote trained to believe or to think that you're the yes person or that they can always ask you, you might run into a little bit more conflict when saying no, right? But this does not mean you saying no is wrong or bad. It just means they're getting a behavior that they're not used to. And again, depending on who this person is, how well you know them, what kind of relationship it is, it could just be a little awkward, or it could come back or they could come back with like, you're being rude or you're being selfish or who do you think you are kind of behavior. That's probably going to be from someone that you know a little bit better, whether it's a partner or a close friend or a parent or something like this. But here's the thing, you can't control other people's behaviors and you can't control what they think or what they feel, what they believe. I call this your ABCs, actions, beliefs, choices. And so this is also part of the boundary, letting them have their own experience with you saying no or setting the boundary, and just that's theirs, right? Their emotions or their feelings or thoughts or whatever about you setting the boundary, you saying no, that's for them to deal with and not your problem. Now, way easier said than done, especially if you have people pleasing tendencies. Again, I will say this until, you know, the day I die. This is where inner child work can do a lot of help, because if you have really deep people pleasing tendencies, you might most likely learned to get some semblance of love, safety, or belonging by being the helpful person or the nice person or taking care of everyone or whatever it was, right? And so it's not just that it's a little awkward when you say no, but it can really like bump up against some deep like, oh my gosh, who am I to say this? Am I still lovable? Am I still good enough? Am I worthy of saying no? Or who am I to say no? Those kinds of things. So if you do experience bad behavior when saying no, again, it depends on who the person is and what you can or what your options are. So for example, if this is someone that is a partner, I would definitely would encourage you to move in the direction of letting them go, because most of you listening are only going to have one partner at a time, and you want that partner to be supportive and lifting you up rather than a drain on your energy, especially if you do start setting boundaries. If it's a friend, you know, I think it can get a little bit more the gray area-ish. If it's a newer friend or peripheral friend, you might just want to be like, you know what, I'm not dealing with this. If this is a friend that you've known for a really long time and you have a history with, you might decide to take a different choice and keep them in your life in some way, but have them maybe at an arm's length so that you can protect your energy and your boundaries and all that kind of stuff. And same with family, right? Like you might not want to completely estrange yourself from your family, which I completely understand, but that might mean you have to keep them a bit at an arm's length so that you can protect your own boundary and your own energy. Now, and by the way, I did an episode all about boundaries and the kinds there are. It was like a whole boundaries masterclass. So definitely listen to that if you struggle with boundaries. We'll put that link in the show notes. I think it originally aired, I want to say in March 2022. So a little bit more than a year ago. We'll put that in there though. If you do want a masterclass on the different kinds of boundaries there are that you can set, definitely take a listen to that. Now with Irina, well, this is her case. Like there are some people that you don't have any control or you don't have complete control. And in those cases, you have to do your best. So people you don't have necessarily control with in terms of like, I don't want this person in my life, so I'm not going to have this person in my life. You probably don't have that kind of control with a coworker, right? You might not have the power to get that person fired or move to another team. Now, you might have some control where you can maybe ask to be moved to a different team. But if it's like a neighbor or I don't know, just there might be other situations where like you don't really have complete control or autonomy over how much this person is or isn't in your life. So this obviously isn't ideal and it kind of sucks, but also this is life and we can't have everything in our life be absolutely perfect and magical and well-balanced all the time. And this is honestly what part of the inner work is doing, is how can you deal with some of the more difficult folks or difficult relationships in your life without it like really getting to your energy or emotions or self-worth in this kind of, or in such a strong way. So this is where energetic boundaries come in a lot. And I talk about that on the boundaries episode that I just mentioned. So make sure you listen to that if you want to hear me talk about energetic boundaries. But usually that's just a stopgap. It's not usually a long-term solution. So like, for example, if like your workplace is really toxic and there's lots of just, you know, lots of boundary breaking or not really caring about boundaries, long-term, you actually might want to find a new job or a new team to work on, but between now and whenever that can happen, you would probably have to implement some, you know, some energetic boundaries. I don't want to go too much into that because that can be like a whole episode of itself, workplace boundaries, but this is just an example that I am bringing up in that you will have different kinds of boundaries and implement them in different ways, and maybe even get different reactions based on who this person is and how they are in your life and what kind of control you have over whether or not they continue to stay in your life. So as you can tell, like, you know, there's a lot of things going on here, right? There's things around communication. There's things around boundaries. There's things around Irina's energy. There's things around making sure that she has as much control over her emotions as possible rather than outsourcing or giving that away to other people. And then, of course, there is the inner child work of, you know, the people pleasing tendencies. And I won't go into her whole history. I know it because she's a client of mine. But just to protect her privacy, like, I'll just say that she definitely has some people pleasing tendencies that result from, you know, just her experience with her mom and dad. So there's lots of moving pieces here. And this is where, you know, my coaching, especially over the long term, can be super helpful, because it's impossible to go through all of this and resolve all of this in one, you know, session or one quick conversation. So if you are interested in working with me later this year in the fall, then head over to veronicagrant.com/coaching. And that is how you'll get on my wait list. So by the time you're listening to this episode, I'm not taking any new clients, especially if you're listening to this several weeks after this episode dropped, because I'm expecting a baby. But I will be taking clients again in the fall. So if you are interested, you know, but you know, you want to start in a few months, then just make sure you get your application in so that you can get on my wait list, because I am pretty sure my client load will probably be much smaller than normal in the fall, just because we're not starting the baby in daycare until January. So you can go to veronicagrant.com/coaching. Filling out the application is what gets you on the wait list. There won't be a scheduler to... Well, there might be a scheduler for September. I haven't figured that part out yet. But regardless, fill the application out if you are interested in working with me in the fall, and we will be in touch late summer or so about working together. All right, so I'm going to wrap this episode up here. If you are interested in working with me in the fall, again, veronicagrant.com/coaching. And, you know, one reason why I really love coaching is because it really is holistic and multifaceted. There's lots of things to look at and lots of things to do. You know, we have to look at the big picture. And this is a really great example, because there's a lot going on here. And so we can't be too narrow in our focus, because that will just, you know, not provide the most amount of, you know, growth and transformation that either you or, you know, obviously my client here, it's Irina, is looking for. All right. So I'll be back in your earbuds with a brand new episode next week, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening to the Love Life Connection podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at veronicagrant.com/podcast. And that's also the place you can sign up to be coached by me here on the show. And if you love this podcast, please leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. It helps more incredible women like you find this show and find real love. Until next time, remember, wherever you are is exactly where you need to be. You're not broken, and you don't need to be fixed. Just because you've never had the relationship you want before doesn't mean you can't have it now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.